from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I'm literally like tweeting out sourced info as we start the show. Just learned the Bills are going to be releasing Ilyanku, defensive tackle. So I just tweeted that out. That's from me there, Josh. So here you go. You can say Arsal Capaccio. That's how it works on a day like today. What is going on today, man? Oh my gosh. It's a head spinning everywhere. Woo! Head on a swivel today is what you need. It's cut down day. And we know several players that have been released by the Buffalo Bills through different reports locally, nationally. We'll see where it ultimately ends up on the 53. And then what happens after that? Remember, as Jeremy made a great point this morning, it is not the actual final 53. It is the kind of sort of final 53, but you're really not on the 53 until we finalize everything over the next couple of days. It's a long way of saying, hey, once they get to the 53 today, there's going to be more moves in the next 24 hours based on waivers and claiming and players released and signing free agent contracts. So today, what do we know? Here's what I want to do. I want to open the phone lines today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. I'll get into yesterday. I had a great day yesterday. I'll tell you all about it in a little while, but wasn't with you yesterday as things were starting to happen. And I appreciate, as always, Josh and Zach. Were you on yesterday? You guys were on, right? Great job. Thank you. You guys are always amazing to be here on those days where I can't. But yesterday, the cuts started coming in. And we learned the Bills basically, you know, a couple days ago tweeted out all the different, you know, several different moves they were making already. So they said right there, these are our seven guys, couple on IR. From then, we started to learn a little bit more yesterday around the league. There was really nothing with the Bills yesterday. Today's a little bit different. Today you're starting to get all of these cuts coming in locally, nationally, like I said. Want to open the phone lines to you to ask you where your head is at with all of it. And this is an open-ended question today on the Extra Point Show. What I mean is, like, what are you concerned about? What do you like? What are you confused about? Anything. You don't like what they're doing at wide receiver. You like what they're doing at linebacker. Whatever it is. You have a question, the mechanics of it. I just want to give it open-ended here for the first segment. And then at 10:30, my buddy Matt Perino is going to join me, Syracuse.com Shout Podcast as well, with Ryan Talbot. He comes aboard at 10:30. At 11 a.m., Evan Lazar, who covers the Patriots, and we'll get to some league matters, but I thought we'd check in with him based on what happened this weekend and that preseason game. When did the Patriots play? Last night? Was it yesterday? Against the Commanders?
Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, remember, and Jacoby Brissett got hurt, and Drake May looked good. So we're going to get with Evan Lazar.
Martavis Bryant had a touchdown, his first touchdown in, I think, 7 years.
There you go. Yeah. I like that. Good for
him.
Not
for the Patriots, but.
Yeah, good for him. We'll get with Evan Lazar at 11 o'clock. Matt Perino at 10:30. But 803-0550 is the number to call. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Okay. 803-0550 is the number. What do you think about what's happened so far? Let me recap a few of the things that have happened. And let's do it this way, too. Maybe if Josh sees a report, he can ding us in some way. Ding, ding. Somebody getting released. Ding, ding. Someone getting waived. We can do that today. I would say this. here's where I want to start. The biggest question and concern even and wonderment for the Buffalo Bills heading into this offseason was wide receiver. Today, because we've learned that the team is waiving Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, we are back to the biggest concern, curiosity, wonderment as far as a position is concerned. Now, we have the Joe Andreessen story, right? Joe Andreessen at linebacker, is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? I think he does, but who knows? That's certainly front and center on a lot of Buffalo Bills fans' minds. But I think the biggest position for the Buffalo Bills that's interesting right now is wide receiver. And as it rolls along today. And it really has been since April, right? Since the day they traded Stephon Diggs. Maybe even before that. I mean, I guess Gabe Davis leaving in free agency started it. And then Stephon Diggs gets traded right after that. And now we're back to what are they doing? So what does it mean for both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter to be released? Now, of course, these are, according to reports, has not been confirmed by the team yet. Let's start with Tyrell Shavers. I had him on my 53, my projected 53-man roster. I don't know many who didn't. It just, again, I want to explain how these work. Which is, when I do a projected 53, when someone else in the media does a projected 53, it's not, and it shouldn't be, who you think is the better player making the team. Like, hey, this is the better player. They should keep him. This is what I saw. You're not the evaluator. I'm not the evaluator of the talent. That's Brandon Bean and his staff and the coaching staff's job. My job to give you a projected 53 is to tell you what I think they're going to do based on what we've seen as far as reps are concerned, how they've handled that player. And yes, some of it baked in is making plays, right? We know that too. So when I put Tyrell Shavers on my 53, that's because ever since camp started, the week of, the first few days of, Tyrell Shavers was always in that mix in the top five or six. Generally top six and even top five at times. And you know they're going to keep at least five wide receivers. They could keep six. So he was always in my top group. Then come the injuries to Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Curtis Samuel. Now he's even more firm in that top five slash six. So I really was surprised when I think it was Jeremy Fowler who tweeted out this morning that Tyrell Shavers was going to be released by the Bills and not make it. That came as a surprise to me because I thought he, based on what I've seen, how they've handled him, the reps he's taking, where he's playing, when he's playing, to me, that was a guy that was making the team. Was he outstanding and making play after play? No. He was consistent. But again, this is not about, oh my God, I think he's amazing. He should make the team. That's not what it is. It's here's how they're doing it. That's what I see them doing. That's what I project them doing. But he didn't have like some awesome preseason. He didn't have amazing play after play every day in camp. Keon Coleman had a few of those. He just was consistent and he was out there a lot. So I was surprised by that. All right, so once I heard that, I said, okay, well, what are you doing now? Let's try to, it's a big puzzle, right? That's the cool part about today. Roster building, the puzzle that gets put together. Like, well, why would they do that with Tyrell Shavers? Okay, well, there's a couple of reasons that you could do it and reason why. Number one, maybe they're just going with five wide receivers. Because listen, Daquan Hardy, the punt returner, the defensive back, appears to be the guy who's won that job. He's going to be the punt returner for this team, Daquan Hardy. That's what it appears. So if Daquan Hardy is your punt returner, you don't really need someone to do that from the wide receiver spot. And not that Tyrell Shavers is a punt returner. He's not. But if you needed to keep another wide receiver for punt return, then you might have to go six because you don't want that guy necessarily playing extra reps at wide receiver. It's like I said, it's not a perfect science. It's a puzzle. But I think Daquan Hardy making the roster, which it appears that he will do that, we'll see, would have a direct impact on what they do at wide receiver, because you have KJ Hamler, you have Andy Isabella, and who is actually the punt returner, and then how that affects the numbers at the position. But that's number one. Number two, so I say maybe they just keep five. Or was it that KJ Hamler or Justin Shorter or Andy Isabella actually made the roster? Or Deion Cain? How about Deion Cain and his game last week? Deion Cain looked really good. Like, did Deion Cain just show up a week and a half ago and suddenly make the Buffalo Bills? It's possible after what we saw. We know now, though, it's not Justin Shorter. That also was reported. I had been saying for a couple of weeks, maybe about a week or so, that Justin Shorter was making a late push. Fifth round pick from a year ago, was on IR all last year, did not play. You know they don't want to necessarily divest themselves from a fifth round pick. Gave him every opportunity in training camp this year. And it looks like, apparently, according to reports, he's not going to be a part of their 53-man roster. So as I tweeted out, hey, maybe it's Justin Shorter. He was making a late push. And then literally 10 minutes later, Justin Shorter's released. So scratch that. I got it wrong. Not that got it wrong, just that wasn't it. That part wasn't it. And so that gets you, that's no more Justin Shorter. What about Deion Cain? Deion Cain has some juice after what happened this past week. I mean, run after the catch, right? I mean, he was very good with that. Going to try and see Deion Cain here. I don't want to make sure on Deion Cain. I don't think he did a lot of punt returning. He's not a punt returner, kick returner. Yeah, it wouldn't be the reason you'd keep him. But to me, I'm looking at a guy like KJ Hamler now. Like, did KJ Hamler do enough in that final game, playing running back, showing that he has that speed, the willingness and ability to kind of just, hey, do whatever the coach asks. And oh, by the way, insurance as a punt returner, maybe even the main punt returner. Maybe you go into the season and you say, here's Daquan Hardy, my punt returner, and I have KJ Hamler, and they're going to battle it out. That could happen too, because I'll tell you, even though Daquan Hardy looks like he's going to make the team as that guy, I still wonder if the Bills really super trust him to field punts on a windy day in November in that stadium. Heck, a windy day in September could be windy in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So maybe you need KJ Hamler on this team, because he offers something the other receivers just don't really have. Straight line burning speed. So maybe that's where you go. By the way, Josh, I was saying earlier, if you see any reports of anybody with the Bills, hit a bell or something for me. Ding, ding. Because I'm doing the show here, and I can't kind of be on top of it all, so I'm trying to do that as best I can, and then we'll do our best to kind of get that out there as soon as possible. So, the other guy would be Andy Isabella. The thing about Isabella, though, is it doesn't get me to go, yeah, that would be the guy they would keep. If they were to keep six, Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, Hollins, MVS, and I'll get to this group in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A little bit more. But if you were going to keep six, Andy Isabella's the other one. I mean, he hasn't had the opportunity, really. He's done some kick returns, but not punt returns in camp and preseason as much, in preseason and games. So that kind of gets me off of that it would be him. The other thing that the Shorter and Shavers releases do is get you closer to more of a comfort of Curtis Samuel and Marquez Valdes-Scantling being ready to play week one, which Sean McDermott did say last week that everybody, except Matt Milano, of course, who's been injured here, has the chance to be ready week one. So that gets me to, okay, looks like MVS and Curtis Samuel on this team ready week one. Now, you can argue all you want that MVS shouldn't be on the team. I can understand that argument. I've gotten it from a lot of people. But again, this isn't what you, the Extra Point listener, would do because of your evaluation, or me, Sal Capaccio, do what I would do because of my evaluation. We can all have those opinions. The job is to figure out what the Bills are going to do because they're the evaluators and how they've treated it and how they handle it and the money comes into play and all of those other things. Speaking of money, both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter are subject to waivers. What does that mean? That means as of 4 p.m. today, they go into the waiver pool. There's this whole list of all these guys who haven't been in the league for 4 years. They get released. Any team can say, I'm claiming that player. You're mine. Only one can get the player, of course. That's a waiver priority. It goes in the order of last year's draft. So anybody who's, you know, any team can just say, we want that player. And that player becomes their property. And the Bills then can't get that person on the practice squad because they're on another team. If the player clears waivers, you can bring him back to the practice squad, which I believe that Shavers and Shorter would both be candidates for. But you only have 17 of those, 16 normally. Bills have an exemption for Travis Clayton, although he's been hurt lately. We'll see, you know, where that goes. But I think wide receiver has been the most interesting position here with the Buffalo Bills as today has rolled on. Backup quarterback. We know now through reports, Ben DiNucci being released. Anthony Brown was officially released by the club a couple days ago. That leaves two healthy quarterbacks on this squad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say healthy. That leaves two quarterbacks on this squad. Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. And we know Mitch Trubisky is not in a good place to play a game right now, right? I mean, the way he's been limping around and he hasn't been even in uniform doing any rehab. What does that look like, though, next week leading into week one against the Arizona Cardinals? Let's remember, just if Mitch Trubisky could be healthy enough to play against the Arizona Cardinals, but is he healthy enough to even practice leading up to it for the game plan to take reps? Those are things the Bills have to decide. It's not just if he's ready for week one. It's if he's ready to practice week one, if he's ready to actually take the reps to understand the defense, because, you know, God forbid something happens to Josh Allen, even for a couple of series, and Mitch Trubisky has to go in, he has to know the game plan. He has to know what, he has to be ready. It's not just, hey, I can put him out there and take a few snaps on a Sunday afternoon. It's not how it works. And I have serious doubt if that's the case, but there is a way to work around this. You don't have to put Mitch Trubisky on injured reserve and lose him for 4 weeks. And this is my sense is this is probably how it goes down. I don't know. That the Bills will probably bring Ben DiNucci back to the practice squad or another player. They claim a guy, and then he has to go on the 53, so that's going to be tough. But you go out and sign a guy to put on your practice squad after they clear waivers. You don't have to claim him. Wait till they clear waivers, or it's a veteran. You put him on your practice squad. So that player's in your practice squad. Then Mitch Trubisky's just your backup quarterback. He's on your 53. Oh, Mitch isn't healthy enough to play week one? All you got to do is elevate that third quarterback. And in this case, to me, it would have to be Ben DiNucci, or it doesn't have to be, but it should be Ben DiNucci because he's been here. He knows the offense. I mean, that player, whoever QB3 is, this is the better way to say it maybe for you. Whoever QB3 is, who's going to be on the practice squad, might actually have to be the backup week one. The legit backup on the roster. And if that's the case, I don't think you can have somebody come in here and just have 2 days of practice. Now, other players have gone elsewhere and performed in those situations. Heck, didn't Baker Mayfield, Josh, go to the Rams and actually win a game after being on the team for like 3 days?
Yeah, 3 or 4 days after getting traded there.
And then wasn't that guy, same thing happened with Minnesota. What was it? Who was it? Was it
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and he won, I think, 2 or 3 games in a row and was pretty successful in all the games he played. He didn't win them all, but still, going in there and just performing. I remember players were talking about how he came in and just showed this kind of elite leadership, if you want to call it that. It was kind of a weird thing that happened because it was a random backup quarterback that just goes in and balls out pretty much.
Yeah. So it's possible, right? You could have a guy go in and 2-3 days notice, go and play and be fine. But I would think the Bills would want somebody. And I think they like DiNucci and what he's done, actually, to be quite honest with you. Like, I don't think DiNucci didn't go out there and just throw up all over himself. Like, he actually acclimated himself pretty well, right? He looked okay. So I think the Bills are probably pretty comfortable with having Ben DiNucci as your QB3. And he was out there late in the process. It's not like teams were clamoring for him. So here's my guess on how this is going to go down. They'll carry Mitch Trubisky on the 53. They'll sign a backup quarterback, a number three quarterback, to be on the practice squad. And then week number one, they elevate that quarterback. He basically takes all the reps as QB2. And then you evaluate Trubisky for week two, which unfortunately is only 5 days later. So that's backup quarterback. Okay. So now, what's the next position we get to? Corner. I just told you about Daquan Hardy. I think Daquan Hardy's on this team. Here's the really, really interesting thing about corner for me right now, okay? Again, I'm just kind of, you know, talking out loud here. I don't know, so please don't take it as, oh, Sal said they're going to do this. I don't know, but I'm wondering why they trained him so much on the outside when everyone kind of said he's just a slot guy. Well, there's a simple explanation, which is, hey, we think he can play outside, and we need the more depth you can have there, the better, which is great. I wonder if that means anything for Kyrie Elam. Jamarcus Ingram, to me, and you guys, anybody who listens to this show knows, like, I am the number one Jamarcus Ingram fan here over the last 2 years, telling everybody he can play. Jamarcus can play. I've said that for 2 years, and it is coming to fruition, so thank you, Jamarcus, for proving me right, because I can't see any scenario he's not on the 53. That would be a stunner to me. And he's gotten better, not only every year, but every week, it seems like, here in the preseason. Has he even passed Kyrie Elam for number three? Because it's not like Kyrie had a bad... contrary, Kyrie Elam, we were talking about, is he pushing Christian Benford? He never really was, I don't think. But he's kind of plateaued here over the last few weeks, and here comes Jamarcus Ingram. So let's just say it's 3-4, 4-3. It doesn't matter. Daquan Hardy being trained on the outside gives you a little more flexibility there. And because Kyrie just hasn't hit quite where you want him to, are they looking at, we can have a depth piece who's he's making the team because he's a punt returner, but we've trained him there. And numbers-wise, maybe we can, you know, look into trading Kyrie Elam. Not that they want to do that, right? But I wonder what the reasoning is. It literally could just be because they just want more flexibility, and that's fine. And we're just trying to do all the conspiracy theory stuff here or read way too much into it. But Hardy, and part of the reason would be you don't need Hardy to play the nickel, right? Because you have Taron Johnson, and then your backup nickel is Cam Lewis. So he'd be third in that depth chart. So make him a flexible guy. You know he can play nickel. He's done it in college. Put him on the outside a little bit, train him there. Then you have some nice flexibility, which is probably what the plan is and why they're doing it. If there's a guy on this team that no one's really talking about possibly making the 53, and I am not telling you he's going to. I don't know. I would say it's very unlikely he's going to. But someone I'd be surprised but not totally stunned would be Tecorey Couch. Tecorey Couch is making plays in the preseason. And he's a nickel corner. And you could have him there. That's why maybe Daquan is more on the outside. You could have Cam Lewis freed up to play a little more safety. I just look at a guy like that and say, man, like that's a guy that kind of fits everything that they all the boxes. And it's tough. And he's made plays. And it's a tough position to get to know and learn. And he's been there and he's done a good job in the preseason. Again, I'd be surprised if he made it. I wouldn't be completely stunned. Remember who's telling you that if it ever happens, okay? Tecorey Couch. Then we get to linebacker. So here's how it's got to work. First of all, I do think Joe Andreessen's going to make it, but Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, we know they're on the team. I think Eddie Ulofosio is going to be on the team. I don't see him not making it based on being a draft pick, the fact that he can play special teams. I think they like his, you know, his toughness and what he brings to the table. I think Nicholas Morrow's interesting. Nicholas Morrow's a veteran. You could release him. He has flexibility, sure. They love that. But you could bring him on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's necessarily going to be beating down the door to sign him. Who knows? He's not subject to waivers. And that's why I think Joe Andreessen makes it. But that leaves out Baylen Spector. To me, Baylen Spector, there's too many questions about his availability at this point. And Joe has shown to be available and lining people up right. And he made a whole heck of a lot of plays against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he didn't play as great against the Carolina Panthers, but he didn't do anything other than a couple miscommunications on passing plays, which I do think, you know, were kind of a point of a product of maybe playing with different people against a first-team offense. I don't think you have to pin that on Joe necessarily, but I do think there were some communication issues there. Those are things that you look at. I think Joe Andreessen's done enough, and I just think Baylen Spector might be in a spot where maybe we see him get put on IR today as one of those two designated to returns. I've tried to explain the rules many times, but I'll try one more time so everybody's clear on this. Today, anybody who goes on injured reserve is out for the season because they didn't make the 53 before 4 p.m. today. However, a new rule. The Bills can take two of those guys and say, we're designating them to return. So you could put Baylen Spector, Matt Milano, somebody else on IR today and say, out of this group of whatever guys is going on IR, whoever it is, two of them we are putting designated to return on them, which means they only have to miss four games. And then at some point in the season, you can bring them back. They also wouldn't count on the 53-man roster, which frees up two spots to keep other people. We know Milano's out long-term. If the Bills do that today, that at least allows them to bring him back in November, December, whatever. But he would count, and so would Baylen Spector or anybody else like this, as two of your eight total guys you get for the season. You get eight of these for the season. You can only do two today. But you get eight for the season. So if you do it today, you got to declare right away who they are. And that counts for, you know, two spots if you do two guys. As the season goes on, you don't have to declare right away. You just have to say, you know, he's ready to come back and we're going to put him out there. All right, we're going to take a timeout. Matt Perino is going to join us from Syracuse.com. We have Evan Lazar, covers the Patriots. He's coming up at the top of the hour. Questions on whatever you have on the roster and the roster build. Matt Perino gives his thoughts after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.